Today is Wednesday. And as every family in the north end of Boston will tell you, Wednesday
is Money Life's Sell of the Week with Charles Roquelaw, editor of the American Association of Individual Investors Journal.
You are quite the bear.
That's right. Every Wednesday, Charles Roquelaw joins us to help us let go of those investments that are going the wrong way.
You idiots, get back in there at once and sell.
Don't keep coming up short. Join us every Wednesday for Charles Roquelaw on Money Life with Chuck Jaffe.
Well, you know what they say. Bulls make money, bears make money, pigs, they get slaughtered.
But we will not let that happen to you. And so each week, we not only try to make a case for what you might buy and sell, but also make sure that you understand the methodology that goes behind it. And in this case, our methodology comes from Charles Roquelaw. He is the author of Better Good Than Lucky. He is the editor of the American Association of Individual Investors Journal. And if you want more information, it is AAII.com. You can follow him on Twitter, where he is at Charles Roquelaw. Charles, welcome back to Money Life.
Thank you for having me.
Our sell of the week is?
Twitter.
Okay, it's Twitter. It's ticker symbol TWTR. And first we should say,
hello, Twitterers.
Because we know we've got a lot of Twitterers. And I can tell you that my general feelings for Twitter itself, not so much the stock, are kind of similar to my feelings for Facebook.
Dude, Facebook, seriously.
Yeah, if I could just get them to say that for Twitter, I'd be fine. But why are you hating on Twitter?
Part of the conversation here is really going to revolve around Twitter's float. And I referenced float on Tuesday when we talked about Golden Star Resources as the buy of the week. Twitter has a very small float in terms of the number of shares outstanding. The problem with Twitter is there's not many shares that are actually available for people to trade. When a company's shares has shares outstanding, those are the number of shares issued. The float is what's actually available to be traded. And what we've seen with Twitter is a case of supply and demand, where we've seen a lot of buyers and sellers overwhelm the market. So we've seen the stock being very volatile. As a result, the stock's valuation has shot up because there just really isn't enough shares available to be traded to satisfy all the people who want to own it. The net result is you're looking at a valuation that's beyond the scale of just unjustifiable. It's extremely high. If we go with Friday's close, and I'm using Friday's close because as we record this on Monday, the stock's still experiencing some very large moves. It's trading at 56 times price to sales. If a stock was trading at 10 times sales, I would say a stock's extremely overvalued. If a stock was trading at 20 times sales, I'd say the stock's extraordinarily highly valued. At 56 times sales, you're more than factoring in future growth. You're really paying too high a price, and it really is a point where you put the stock into terms of hot potato range, where you don't want to be the last person holding the stock, because it's not a question of if the valuation is going to drop, it's more of a question of when.
It's a fascinating case. We had someone on the show last week who was saying that Twitter has become sort of the trader's proxy, that it is basically a trader's stock, not a buyer's stock. Yet if people are buying it up because the float is small, that would suggest that folks are saying, oh, I really want to get into Twitter, so I'm willing to pay a premium because I know long term it's going to pay me off, wouldn't it?
Well, that's a thought. It's important to look at Twitter and understand its business model. The company gets about 70% of its revenues from mobile devices. It only gets paid for advertising if somebody actually clicks on the link. So it's similar to Google's model when it comes to advertising. It's basically a pay-for-performance model. And really, in all reality, Twitter is just another advertising platform. So you're paying a high multiple. And whereas people might pay a low multiple for magazines or for print, at the end of the day, it's all advertising vehicles. How are you getting ads out to it? The argument that people have for Twitter is, well, Twitter can identify what somebody's interests are and send out ads specifically tailored to them. But when you look at the statistics of users, it isn't that great. There was recently a report on a tech blog looking at user accounts. The top 1% of active users, and these are people who've posted within the last 30 days, which is a stricter definition than Twitter even uses, have just 3,000 followers. So you might hear about the Beyoncés and the Justin Timberlakes and about how many followers they have. The reality is most people who are tweeting really don't have anybody reading their tweets. So you're talking a large number of very small, fragmented accounts. And so it calls into question just how effective Twitter will be as an advertising medium over the long term.
And I should point out, by the way, you can follow Charles at Charles Roteblatt, where he has 6,000 plus followers, which puts him in the top 1% and then some. It's about double me, by the way. Charles, what kind of downside is there to this stock? I mean, as long as there's so much buzz about it, even if we understand that, hey, these problems will eventually come to roost, you can make a lot of money waiting for eventually. What's going to be the catalyst here?
Yeah, it's very hard to assign what a valuation is, and we're seeing analysts put out price targets based on what they expect future earnings are going to be. And it's really a case where they're saying, this is what I think is going to happen, here's what the stock's valued. And realize if we go back to the late 1990s, they were doing the same thing with internet stocks, and their forecast turned out to be very, very wrong. So it's very difficult to value the stock. To give people some ranges, though, Facebook has a price to sales of 19.6, LinkedIn's at 17.8 sales, Yahoo's at 8.7 sales, Google's at 6.5 sales. So you can see, even relative to its peers, Twitter's extremely valued. If we assume Twitter's going to continue to command a really high valuation, I would probably put the ceiling for the valuation at least at a price-to-sales ratio of 25, and I probably wouldn't go much above it. That really assumes a downside of about 35% off of Friday's close. And even at that point, I would still argue that Twitter is extremely overvalued.
It is a stock that a lot of people are watching and a lot of people are thinking about. And in this case, it is the sell of the week. It is Twitter, TWTR. Now, if you follow Charles on Twitter, you know what he doesn't do? He doesn't send tweets like this.
Ate pork chop for dinner. Had nice applesauce, too.
He does send stuff about his work at the American Association of Individual Investors. It's AAII.com, or you can follow him on Twitter, where he's at Charles Roteblatt.
It's just a stupid click of a button that takes 2 seconds.
So follow him on Twitter. Charles, thanks as always for joining me. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great. Happy New Year.
Hey, you know, speaking of Twitter followers, we got something coming later in today's show you're going to like with another one of our guests. So stay tuned. There's a lot more of Money Life to go.
Please let me know if there's any other way that I can be of assistance to you or any of your 1.2 kabillion Twitter people type friends.